Beware the rogue interviewer, or rather, where the power really lies. You know that moment when a colleague opens his or her mouth in an interview with an external person to choose a new business partner, for example, or a new employee or a new consultant? You've no worries normally about what comes out of his or her mouth, but on this occasion, the words begin a slow, fast attack on the value of your brand, from somebody you'd normally expect to protect that brand. We're all used to the risk of managing, to the risk of and being able to manage social media brand attacks and being careful what we say on Twitter. But sometimes we forget about the face-to-face, the old-fashioned way. We've all been in internal meetings where a full and frank discussion takes place amongst colleagues. We've all been in external-facing meetings where a full and frank discussion takes place with others about our organisation. But the extent of the full and frank and its impact is in reality quite different when external individuals are involved. I'm talking about those external meetings where you and your colleagues think you're the ones in power. The potential new owner, the potential new employee, the potential new consultant will be so desperate to work for you or with you that you can say what you like about your organisation. They're the ones under scrutiny, not you or your organisation, you imagine. How wrong. How risky. Three very simple examples we've come across recently. The job interviewee is told by the interviewer, "Our directors are all a bit antiquated, but we're hoping to get shot of them soon, so you'll be working for a far more dynamic organisation then if you join us." And keep your mouth shut about it, by the way. So the employee, or the potential employee, tells the recruitment agency that the organisation doesn't respect normal HR or legal principles. The recruitment agency has concerns about putting forward others for the role. Yes, there are some agencies who do take a view on that, and do conduct their business accordingly. Meanwhile, the potential employee takes a job with the competitor, and that information is used by the competitor very nicely, thank you. Second example, charity head of fundraising tells potential consultant, "No need to break our project into small chunks if you think we can't afford to run the entire project. We get stacks of cash from donors and don't need to worry about the risk of not having cash in the future." The consultants who sit on the donor, who also sit on donor funding boards, so who are not there just as consultants, will never recommend the charity for funding in the future on the basis of an irresponsible management of the funds that the charity seems to have, as well as not really addressing the risk that cash can be there one year and not the next in the current environment. Third example, the partner in a firm tells somebody up for partnership, "Well, you know the problems we've been having, so you're aware of the risk of this opportunity. But don't worry, with your investment, in other words your cash, we can change things. Would you buy into that approach?" None of these statements is factually incorrect and could be said internally. None would be inappropriate in that internal meeting. But in a meeting with external individuals, they're dynamite. Why would an individual make these statements? Usually from an over-optimistic sense of their power in the conversation. Who cares, they think, what the potential partner, employee or consultant thinks about their organisation? They're the ones in control of whether those other individuals will work with them. Wrong. All three could be rare commodities, and indeed are in today's world. There is a shortage of capital in some businesses. There is a shortage of right employees with the right skills for some organisations. And, for many, there's a shortage of consultants with the right approach. They can choose to say yes or no to the opportunity of working with the other organisation. All three will walk away, and amongst their own networks could be advocates or otherwise for your organisation and its brand and its reputation. So be realistic and frank in meetings by all means, but remember that the power lies with those who are external to your organisation sometimes. Realism and frankness are all very well, but they need to be carefully agreed in advance. So be careful who you allow onto your interview panels. One misjudged sentence by somebody who misunderstands where the power lies could cost you dear.